Background music of Larry Rashavi and his out-of-town checks right there with our theme, Musicians Come and Play, means it's time for another edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. Program number 499 in that continuing series, as you're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of central Minnesota, KASM Albany, 1150 AM, KDDG Albany 105.5 HD2, 107.7 on your FM dial, streaming on the World Wide Web at mychasm.com. Our theme wrapping up right there, Musicians Come and Play with Larry Rashavi and his out-of-town checks, taking us to 14 minutes now before the hour of 12 noon, and temperature reading currently at 40 degrees and sunshine here in central Minnesota. Most times you'd say that's not too bad a day here in central Minnesota, but we're going to bring our guest in right now and say good morning to Mr. Larry Rashavi. Larry, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Si.
Very good. And we're talking to you in sunny Arizona, right?
That is correct.
And 40 degrees normally in March 10th in Minnesota would be, you know, wow, we're having a balmy winter here. But I think it's even balmier where you are, huh?
Well, it's not bad. It's been in the mid-70s, and I think today it's supposed to hit it, go up to 80.
Oh, my goodness. So that's why you leave Minnesota for most of the winter then, huh?
Yeah, I should have stayed back home, I guess.
Yeah.
Such a beautiful winter up there, but I think it's given you a break after last year.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening here. I don't think we'll ever see another one like this in our lifetime. I've never seen one like this. We've had so little snow and such nice weather. We still had good ice up until, about 10 days ago. But, boy, now that sun is getting up there, and it's just beating those lakes. And, anything south of St. Cloud is just about wide open now. So it's just unheard of for this time of the year.
Yeah, I had some neighbors there of ours send me a video of the lake right by us, and that's open water now, too.
Sure,
so,
sure.
Yep.
Well, good. Larry, for the folks that haven't met you, heard about you, or anything, let's go back to the beginning. Where were you born and raised?
Born and raised in Austin, Minnesota.
Austin, Minnesota. Okay. And then you didn't stay there, though. You lived over in that Rochester area, someplace in that area?
Yeah, I went to school and then ended up getting a job in Rochester, Minnesota for Olmsted County, and I worked there for 35 years. And then I guess I'm going on almost 10 years ago, I was able to retire at 55, and I'm just living the dream right now.
You moved over to what, Spooner, Wisconsin?
Spooner, Wisconsin. Yeah.
Okay.
I've had property up there since the early 90s, and
okay.
And when I retired, that's moved up there.
But you didn't really retire. I think you did opened what, an upholstery shop or something, an upholstery business.
Yeah, I'm doing boat upholstery and canvas work, and then I also have a boat storage business.
Now is that still open and going on right now while you're down south, or do you shut that down while you're gone?
Well, I shut the upholstery stuff down, but I'm still storing boats over the winter, so as soon as I get back, we'll be
pulling them out,
moving them out.
Yep, very good.
And it'll be early this year, that's for sure.
Yep, the natives will be restless, that's for sure. Well, along the way, you picked up that habit of playing the concertina. When did that all get started?
Well, I started button accordion at the age of 5, and age of 12, that's when I switched over to the concertina, and I've been playing it ever since. So, got a quite a few years. As a matter of fact, I should be coming up on 50 years of playing already here.
Wow.
I think it's one of these years here. I think I started, I'd have been 72, I guess that's when I started the concertina.
Okay.
1972, so.
All right. Very good. You self-taught, or did you take lessons from somebody, or how'd you get going?
My dad had played a little bit. He had actually take some lessons back in the day and gave me his beginner music, and I just pretty much had the music in my head.
Sure.
Played by ear, and then, I was following the concertina music and learned how to play that way then.
All right. What'd you get started on? What kind of a concertina?
My dad had a Paddock.
Okay.
1937 Paddock, and that's basically what I started on, and so I'm still going at it.
You bet.
Still learning.
There you go. Yeah, I don't think we ever get done with that. There's always so much more. I was playing some music by Jerry Schiff this morning on the air here. A good friend of mine is Harlan Panoff, had the Harlanders out of Annandale, Maple Lake, Minnesota area, and was a good concertina player back in the days, and he's had some health issues now, but I visited with him on Friday, and we both talked about Jerry Schuft, and I don't know, we both agreed that he was kind of our idol back in the years as we were playing and growing up. How about yourself?
Well, I tell you what, my dad, he had a love for concertina, so we listened to a lot of New Ulm music.
Okay.
And obviously Jerry Schuft was one of them. You know, Elmer Scheid, that was on almost all constantly.
Mm-hmm.
One of the concertina players that I really admire is Roger Kubisch.
Oh, yeah.
And Roger used to play with Ivan Kale.
Yeah.
And, he's just real clean style, and I really liked his playing, so... But, I mean, there's so many different players that we all, took a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And then I also listened to a lot of Nebraska music growing up.
Oh, yeah.
Because of my Czech heritage. And my dad, of course, spoke it and sang it. And just the phrasing and styling of their music, much different than the Midwest music, So.
Yeah.
You just pick up a little bit from every place you hear, and like I say, I'm still doing that.
Uh-huh. Now, you mentioned Roger Kubisch. Do you happen to know, is he still living?
As far as I know, I haven't made any kind of contact with him, but I believe he's down in Lakeville, Minnesota.
Okay, very good. Yeah.
Yep.
And so did you start the band then right away when you were first starting with concertina, or did you start out two-piece, three-piece, or what'd you
do? I would have been 17 when I started at three-piece, and then a year later, then I went to four-piece.
Mm-hmm.
So when I started, I had Mark Kubat playing drums, and he was pretty much self-taught. Matter of fact, my dad bought him his first drum set just so he could play with us.
Okay.
And then my sister played.
Oh, okay.
She played guitar and a little bit of banjo. Dorothy Miller is her
yep.
name.
Okay.
And so she played, and then when I got married, then Michelle started playing guitar and banjo.
Okay.
And I guess I'm not sure exactly the years that, well, I guess that was 91, I guess.
Okay.
We went almost 20 years with the four-piece band. Then I kind of quit, and I was able to do some things that I hadn't been able to do before, which was like go hunting.
Uh-huh.
And I met Matt Hodek up in North Dakota and hunted on his land. And then he wanted me to bring my concertina up there all the time to play. So then that's how the out-of-town check started.
Sure.
Because Matt hadn't had his Dakota Dutchman going yet, so we just kind of collaborated on a couple recordings, which turned out really nice. It was Laddie and Rose Petska and Matt Hodick, and then Mark Kubot and Todd Jerzak. They were in my band, so we just kind of collaborated forces there and come up with the Out of Town Checks. So played with that group probably, I don't know, 6-7 years.
Okay.
And then Matt's band took off, so then we kind of backed away from the Out of Town Checks. And then and I kind of got back into it. I had always worked with computers. That was my main profession. So I was always into the computerized music and backing and that kind of stuff. So I had taken off with that for about 6 years with the Larry J band. That was I and Jason Dobrance played the bass horn.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of split. And then I've been mainly doing a lot of solo work. I know I sent you a recording of some stuff we're doing down here in Arizona.
Yeah.
But when I get back to Wisconsin, I've got jobs where I just play solo, and I have all my backing tracks all computerized. And so you got the bass, and you got the, you know, the rhythm, and everything is going on.
You bet.
And that seems to be working really well for me, actually. I'm able to get into venues where they don't need a big band, but they still want music.
Yep, and you can give them a bigger sound than what normally you are, and that's pretty neat. I think you probably went through the same thing as a lot of us did back in those early 2000s. It was hard to keep a band together. I mean, people, things have changed so much over time, in my opinion. Families are so involved with their kids and sports and music and all sorts of activities, and you know, back in the days, you told the guys that we've got these jobs coming up for the next month, and everybody marked them down and says, yep, we'll be there for them all. And in the 2000s, I think it got frustrating. I know that several of the bands I was with, it was hard to keep a 6-7-piece band out every weekend.
Well, that's for sure. I mean, I was fortunate that I only had 3 others that I needed to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point in time was my wife in there, so that was only 2 of them.
Yeah.
That I had to worry about their schedules. But yeah, no, it's tough when it's certainly a commitment that you know, all the musicians take and they go at it, you know. But mm-hmm. you know, like I say, times have changed with the schedule that everybody's trying to keep, and then, you know, there's less and less venues to play.
Yeah.
Which unfortunately, you know, doesn't keep you everyone together like that, you know.
Right. Yeah. And so back in the days, did you play a lot of the ballrooms, or did you stay in smaller venues? What did you all do? Did you travel all over?
Well, the story that I have is that I figured it out over the 20 years. I played like 1,500 dances.
Okay.
And of those dances, yeah, there was kind of a split. I played a lot of clubs, you know, Eagles and VFWs and Legions and stuff like that. But I was also playing the ballrooms that were having music. You know, I played Cottage Grove, and I played Bel Ray, and I played, you know, just Monterey and Otana, and I played a lot of ballrooms too, you know.
Sure.
We're having music, the Terp in Austin and Surf in Clear Lake, and just if I would write them all down, you know.
But yeah.
No, I figured I played 1,500 jobs, and I know I wore out 2 vehicles, so that was about 250,000 miles of travel.
Sure.
And I played in 18 states.
Wow.
And I played twice in Canada for the Polkarama up in Winnipeg.
All right.
So, yeah, it was a good run.
Yes.
For sure.
You bet. Well, if we can ask you to hold that thought, Larry, we've reached 12 o'clock here in central Minnesota. Time to read the ad for our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market, and then we'll come back to you if that's all right.
Sounds good.
All right. So the St. Joe Meat Market, home of fresh meats and award-winning sausages. Don't look now, but confirmation, first communion, graduation events are all upon us. If you have one of these great events happening in your household, the St. Joe Meat Market can help with all of your food planning ideas. There is a nice selection of ham that can be deboned and sliced and trayed, ready to set out in the serving line. There's a full line of tender beef steaks, roasts, pork steaks and chops, ribs, all great in the oven or off the grill. Check out our marinated chicken and pork products. Grilling season is here now, and the brats section is stocked with a multitude of brats to choose from. And don't forget the ever-popular meat and cheese trays, a great addition to any meal. Also, with the Lenten season winding down, we still have a nice assortment of fish on hand, including pollock, cod, walleye, smoked salmon, and cooked shrimp. Your event is sure to be a huge success when you center your meal around great meat items found at the St. Joe Meat Market. As always, for more great in-store specials, like us on Facebook, look for us on the web, www.stjosephmeatmarket.com, or you can call 320-363-4913. And Larry, for being our guest on the show, and you've been here before, so you know how it works. We've got a nice meat package held at the St. Joe Meat Market. We'll hang on to that till you get back to Minnesota, if that's what you want to do.
Yep, sounds great.
All righty. And those meat packages working out for you, all right?
Oh, yeah, they're delicious.
That's great.
Matter of fact, you could call me every other Sunday and send me some.
I bet. Yeah, I've told every guest yet. I have yet to have somebody complain about it. They all are just amazed of the variety, and I don't know, everybody seems to like what they get. So Gary Brigham, you know Gary, he always puts in a special request for Braunschweiger. He knows that we make a good Braunschweiger up here, and he's one of the few that really enjoys Braunschweiger.
Oh, yeah. Well, we grew up, I grew up in Austin, and my dad worked for Hormel, so we were eating Spam, Braunschweiger, and all that stuff. I mean, that's a staple for us.
There you go. Well, good. Well, very good. Well, Larry, how long you been wintering in Arizona now? This first or second or third year, or how many years?
No, actually, well, I retired in 2015. I came down here for 2 weeks, just kind of scouting for jobs, and ended up coming back the next year for 12 jobs. And then by the time I left that year, I had 24 jobs. And so, yeah, 2015 I came down here. So
okay.
It's going on almost 10 years now.
Nice, nice. And you travel with the whole band, or do you have musicians down there that you hook up with, or how does that work out?
Yeah, I just got, I do a lot of solo stuff down here.
Okay.
And then I have another gentleman that will play with me every once in a while when I need another player. Mm-hmm. He plays guitar and banjo.
Okay. Very mm-hmm. good. Very good. And lots of other people that you know down there from up here? I mean, other musicians, other neighbors and friends?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of people down here. And matter of fact, well, Matt Hodek, I mentioned him from Lincoln, North Dakota. He comes down here for about a month and plays.
Okay.
So I play concertina with his band also.
Okay.
So I'm not only doing that, but working with his band also.
You bet, you bet. And Matt, of course, farmer up in the North Dakota area? I think he farms with his brothers or his family?
Yep, that's correct.
And so that's how he's able to get away for a month. And it's got to be fun down in that area. Just, I mean, it's still music, but it's a little different area, so everything just is different, huh?
Yeah, well, there's... I tell people you can dance every day of the week down here.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Yep.
It may not always be polka music, but you'll be able to dance somewhere. And a lot of times you can dance two or three times a day, just depending on, you know, the week or whatever. But and then we only have to travel about maybe, I think my furthest job is 15 miles away. I play weekly at a kind of a country bar that's called the Hitching Post, and I play here on Wednesdays.
Okay.
Matter of fact, they have they call it Baloney Day. I guess that's pretty popular up in your area.
It is, yeah.
Actually, the folks that own the hitching post, they're be the Tina, the gal, her brother is Raleigh that owns Raleigh's Rednecks and Longnecks.
Oh, yeah.
Up in St. Cloud.
Yep, yep. Well, he's down there too, huh?
Yeah, yeah. So I see him every once in a while. And he got this gig going here on Wednesday afternoons for me. So it's working out pretty good.
Oh, that's awesome. He had polka music at his establishment out of St. Cloud up here. He had that going for a number of years, and all those seniors, they loved it. They'd go out to dance 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon till 4, 5 in the afternoon, and that was, was that Tuesday or Thursday during the week? I never did get over there for that, but I know they were drawing nice crowds for that, so, yeah.
Right, yep.
And that's
yeah,
not...
that's the other thing down here. I mean, most of the stuff is during the day.
Mm-hmm.
I do play one venue on Tuesday nights. It's 7 to 10, but that's the latest you go down here.
Okay. Yeah, it's so different from what we grew up with, huh? You still remember the 9 to 1 jobs that we all booked years ago?
Yeah, the 9 to 1, and then at 12:45, they pass the hat.
Yep.
And they want you to play another hour.
Yeah, we got on a few of those too, you bet. And so you were crawling to bed by 3, 4, 5 in the morning, and then have to be back to work by 7 or 8 the next morning. So, and we said it was fun. We did it for how long? And I don't know. Last I checked, I would do it again. It was a good life yet.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. And, you know, the best part of it is you meet all these different people, and, you know, they become your friends for the rest of your life, you know?
Yep, exactly. Some of the great musicians that you worked with over the years and concertina players that you looked up to, mention some of those, Larry.
Well, I mentioned the concertina players already. I mean, there was just so many of them. And even like, you know, I'm a close friend of Gary Brigham.
Yeah.
He and his family, Willard and Harry and Philip, you know, the Brigham brothers there, and... I mean, it's just, you just go on from one band to the next, you know. You pretty much know all those musicians, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But back when I was playing, I guess, I had Jason Dobrins play bass horn. I also had Doug Young played bass horn. Doug used to play with Pete and Paul Winnegar and Six Bad Dutchman and, you know, all those bands.
Sure.
And then when I needed some of us, when those two guys couldn't play, then I'd call on Durr Kamek.
Oh, you did,
know,
too.
Durr was probably one of the finest bass horn players there was.
Yeah.
That played with Elmer Scheid.
Yeah.
And now Frank Gillespie. I mean, just what a wonderful player he is.
Absolutely.
And a spitting image of Durr's playing, you know. So
yeah.
It's just fun. And then, of course, the Langan boys, Jeff and Chris do a wonderful job playing. I mean, it's just blessed with all these musicians that, you can meet and have the opportunity to play with, you know.
You bet.
Matter of fact, just a couple weeks ago, Adam Sandhurst was down here.
Okay.
He and Mike Helt and their wives came down. I had an opportunity to play a few jams with Adam. What a heck of a nice guy, and what a super player.
Oh, isn't that true? Yeah.
So, and then Mike Selecki was down here with his wife.
Okay.
Mike played trumpet with a lot of different bands, Dorschner.
Yeah.
And now he is playing with the Music Connection.
Oh, yeah, I heard that there started up.
Wausau or wherever.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, great stuff there, you bet. You did this recording down there. That you sent me, and it's a live performance in Mesa, Arizona that you did on December 10th, and my gosh, that is a good CD. You do the Circling Pigeons to a Polka Tempo. Few of the concertina players have done that. That is really a good number, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I tell you what, you know, we gotta credit Mr. Dale Damon for, I believe, coming up with that rendition.
I think so, yeah.
That, I'm kind of a purist when it comes to playing music, and I don't necessarily like it when we change a waltz into a polka or a polka into a waltz.
Yeah.
But there are a few tunes that actually come out pretty nice, and that Circling Pigeons is certainly one of them.
Absolutely. You bet.
Of course, I don't have the fastest fingers in the West anymore, but it's a difficult song to play at that tempo.
You bet.
And I credit Dale and, of course, Gary Brigham and John Dietz. All those guys are able to play that one and play it with pretty... play it with ease anyway.
Yeah, they do. Do a nice job, you bet. Also, a number of two-steps on the CD, and that's become a thing for the seniors. They love those two-steps, don't they?
Oh, yeah. I would say, you know, just over my career of playing, that the majority of the polkas now have become two-steps at these dances, and it's just, you know, it's a sign of aging and, you know, people can't or don't care to do the polka as much, but it's something that a person's got to keep up with, and that's one thing that works out well for me when I'm either playing solo or, like I say, down here with two pieces. I do play a lot of country music, a lot of country two steps.
Okay, and you're doing the singing on the CD as well, then?
Yeah.
Most of the singing? Mm-hmm. Yep. That's really, really good. You bet. And how many people, was it just you and the guitar then on that CD, or what did you have for instrumentation?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, we're going
to... If you listen to that recording, it just shows you that the quality of my backing tracks, I mean, it sounds like a four or five piece band.
It does, yeah.
But really, there's just two of us playing.
Okay. Very good.
And then I play the keyboard. That's what's going on in those recordings.
You bet. Well, before I let you go, Larry, first of all, I want to find out what you're playing for a concertina these days down there. What do you take a couple of them along, or what do you all have down there?
Yeah, I just I have my Engel B flat, and then I got my 1932 Paddock Deluxe C box that I bring down here also.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
Yep.
And, well, I guess the last thing I was going to ask you was, and I do this every time, I ask you if there's a favorite memory that you'd like to share, good, bad, or otherwise, as you look back over your career. What have you got for us today?
Well, I think I'm still making memories
here. And that's all right, too. That is all right. You bet. Well, with that... we're going to let you run. We're going to save time to play some of this music that you recorded live down there in Mesa. And look forward to hearing from you when you get back to Minnesota. And we'll send out that meat package then. In the meantime, you have a great day. And we thank you for joining us. 499th show. Next week will be our 500th show. And we're going to have one of your fellow concertina players on for that show. It's going to be Carl Hartwig.
Oh, okay. Sounds great.
You bet. Well, you have a great afternoon, Larry, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. I'll talk to you off the air in just a moment. And there he goes. That is Larry Rashavi, our 499th guest here on a Musicians Come and Play program. Don't go away. We've got music coming up by Larry Rashavi live from Arizona. Thank you. Razavi and the Out of Town Checks right there with our theme Musicians Come and Play wraps up our 499th edition of our Musicians Come and Play. And Larry, just a wonderful guest and a great personality and a great, great concertina player. And you're going to find that out now listening to some of his music. This is one off of his live recording from Mesa, Arizona. And this is the Circling Pigeons Polka. Larry Razavi and his out-of-town checks right there with one called the Circling Pigeons Polka. And boy, that one, tough enough to play as a waltz tune, but boy, the guys like Dale Damon, Gary Brigham, Larry right there, Larry Razavi, they make that sound so easy. That is such a great number, the Circling Pigeons Polka. 20 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon, 41 degrees here in central Minnesota, and sunshine. Right now, here's another number off of that same CD. This one's one called the Coon Valley Twist, probably made popular by Brian Brigham. Larry Razavi and the Coon Valley Twist. Thank you. Larry Rashavi and the Coon Valley Twist. 23 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. 41 our current temperature. Like we talked about in the interview, country songs, two steps, they've become very popular for the dancing crowd these days. Here's one that Larry does, one called Neon Moon.
I spend most every night beneath the light of a neon. If you lose your one and only, there's always room here for the lonely. He'll watch your broken dreams as in and out of the beams of a neon. I think of two young.
Larry Rashavi and one called Neon Moon. 27 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon, 41 degrees here in central Minnesota, and we're in the first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet, and that's always brought to us by Jeannie B's Tours out of Freeport, Minnesota. And today, Jeannie says, we'll really give everyone spring fever. Maybe it's time to call Jeannie B's Tours to find out what adventures she has planned for you. Daycation tours usually depart your area between 7:30 and 8 a.m. and usually return between 5 and 6 p.m. These tours include matinee luncheon shows at the Chan Hassan Dinner Theater, Jasper's Theater in Park Rapids, and more venues. Mystery days are always fun-filled times away from home. New to Jeannie B's tours are the Slots of Luck tours to Jackpot Junction Casino the first Monday of each month. Pickups will be in St. Joe at the Park and Ride, Avon City Office Lot, Jill's Cafe in Richmond, and the Painesville Green Roof Senior Center parking lot. Call Jeannie B's for details at 320-345-1581. Reserve your seats now for Monday, April 1st. The bus is filling fast. Jeannie B's Mystery Days are always entertaining. Not knowing where your next stop might be, Jeannie wants you to know that casinos are never part of a day's itinerary for mystery tours. Summer and fall boat cruises are scheduled for Gull Lake, Stillwater, and Taylor Falls are always a unique experience. Minications are a 1 to 4 day outing. Visit destinations like Medora, North Dakota, Northern Minnesota, Hidden Gems of Wisconsin. Extended Jeannie B's tours include Door County, Wisconsin, Missouri, Nashville, Tennessee, Deadwood, South Dakota, Mississippi River Cruise, Canada, and Canadian Rockies, and Glacier Banff, and Lake Louise. Alaska Cruise Tour and Alaska Call of the Wild. Land Only and the Colors of New England Rails and Trails. Exciting European tours are Treasures of Ireland, Danube River Cruise to Austria and Germany, and Highlights of Scandinavia, including Denmark, Norway, and Sweden. So mark your calendars for April 9th to attend the next travel information meet and greet at Shady's Silver Spur in St. Martin. See a full presentation of the Jeannie B's tours, extended tours, and also obtain information for all other tours. Sessions are at 2 to 4 in the afternoon and 5 to 7 in the early evening with an all-included pizza supper served between the sessions. Gather your traveling family and friends and join Jeannie B's tours on April 9th. RSVPs are requested for this meet and greet for the included meal count and call Jeannie B's Tours once again at 320-345-1581. And Jeannie likes to say, remember, seeing is believing. And backing up just a little bit, when Jeannie was talking about the extended Jeannie B's Tours, she mentioned heading out to Deadwood, South Dakota. And yes, it's been finalized. We, my wife and I, will be joining Jeannie. And that trip departs on Memorial Day. I think that is the 27th of March. And we'll be on the bus with Jeannie. Yes, departing on the 27th of May, that is, 27th of May. And we come back on Friday the 31st. And should be lots of fun. Jeannie tells me they've got just all sorts of sites and events planned on that itinerary to see in that Deadwood, South Dakota area. So, yeah, we'll be seeing Mount Rushmore and I think Crazy Horse and all of those sites out there in the Black Hills area. And, of course, the casino in Deadwood. And so looking very much forward to that. So that's going to be happening on May 27th through, I believe it is, what, the 30th? Let me find that again. April and May. May 31st. Yes, 27th through the 31st. So give Jeannie a call to make your reservation. Jeannie tells me as of when she booked us on that trip, there's probably about 15 seats left. So not a whole lot left. So you'll want to call her, maybe call her today. Once again, that phone number to call Jeannie at 320-345-1581. Jeannie B's Tours. Out of Freeport, Minnesota, bringing us our musical treat for dancing feet here on Chasm. All righty, 28 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock, 41 degrees and sunshine here in central Minnesota. Well, we're going to break from that live recording of Larry and down in Mesa, Arizona. Go back to one of his previous recordings with the Out of Town Checks. He did one called the Peanut Butter and Jelly Polka, and a lot of folks always request this one here at Chasm. So here you are, Larry Rezavi, the Out of Town Checks, the Peanut Butter and Jelly Polka. Thank you. Razavi and the Out of Town Checks right there. And you can see why that's such a catchy number. Yes, the Peanut Butter and Jelly Polka. I don't know of a lot of other bands that have that recorded. So, yeah, Larry Razavi really nailing one there well. I remember back at Sox Center when he was up here for Merle Felling's annual concert. That was a popular number. Just got people bouncing in their seats. 25 minutes now before the hour of 1 o'clock. 41 degrees, our current temperature here in Albany. Landlord time. Here's a Donnie Klossner number. One called the Buttons and Bellows Landlord. Larry Razavi. Larry Razavi, that is a live recording from Mesa, Arizona, recorded on December 10th of 2023. Going to have to wrap things up with Larry Razavi right now. Does a nice tune here, sort of a two-step country tune, one called Remember Me. Larry Razavi.
You told me once that you were mine, colored forever, and I was yours till the end of eternity. But all those vows are broken now, and I will never be the same except in memory. When the candle lights are gleaming, remember me at the close of a long, long day. And be so sweet when all alone I'm dreaming, just to know you still remember me. Thank you.
take my place when we're apart, dear. Another love with a heart more bold and free. But in the end, fair weather friends may break your heart, dear. If they do, sweetheart,
Larry Rosavi and one called Remember Me, wrapping up another edition of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. As we come up on 19 minutes now before the hour of 1 o'clock, temperature reading at 41 degrees here in central Minnesota.